The Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Today, an experience in African Caribbean poetry with Edward Brathwaite. In addition to being a poet, Brathwaite is a literary historian. He has to his credit a trilogy including Rites of Passage, Masks, and Islands, a literary history, the development of Creole society in Jamaica, and a second trilogy including Other Exiles, Black and Blue, and Mother Poem. Brathwaite is the reader in history at the University of the West Indies, Mona, in Kingston, Jamaica. In this interview, Brathwaite begins at the beginning.
Like most writers, most poets, I started very early. You can say I started writing hymns, mm-hmm. that kind of background, because I was brought up in a Methodist church with my, you know, my mother's people. And that was the only model I had at the time, at the age of, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then I went into that romantic kind of poetry based upon John Keats and the English models. Mm-hmm. But I began seriously writing on the eve of my departure from my home island of Barbados, when I was going on a scholarship to the University of Cambridge. I won a Barbados scholarship, you know.
Right.
And the experience, the trauma of having to leave home, created this sudden desire on my part to really get to grips with my landscape. And I remember very much that our island is very small, 21 miles long,
yes,
14 miles broad, and I'd never really seen it. Mm-hmm. Part of our colonial thing, we didn't know. And I remember the last week that I was at home, I traveled all over the island trying to get to understand it, trying to get to know it, and I began writing poems about it.
Now, you talked about the situation that prompted you to write. Now, since that time, in your many works, are most of them prompted by situations or events?
Yes, I think this continues. It's prompted by experiences, because having got to Britain, I had the experience of discovering that my education hadn't prepared me for what I found there. You know, my education in a Caribbean island, which is called Little England, really gave me the idea that I should have been, as a writer, a citizen of the world. All writers were equal and all that, and I came upon racial and color prejudice.
Yeah.
And my poetry then began to reflect as best as I could the nature of that experience. The English experience was only the beginning or the extension of a colonial experience. The thing is that I then got a job in West Africa, in Ghana, on the eve of Ghana's independence.
Yes.
And this is when the de-education began and the real writing started, because for the first time I began to understand what it was like not only to be black, but really what it was like to have a culture. Mm-hmm. I think that was the important element of it. I began to understand something about what it meant to be part of a community.
Now, are you saying that your experiences in Africa were so totally different from those in your native land that you began to realize for the first time the essence of black culture?
Right. You see, in my native land, and Césaire has that same problem, uses the same phrase in his book, you see, it was a false understanding of what the native land was. It was a false business of consciousness. We did not really, as I said, understand our own landscape. We didn't appreciate our own customs. When I got to Africa, it is then that I began to recognize that what I really had experienced in my homeland was authentic. Mm-hmm. And as I went on living in Ghana, I lived there for 6 years, 7 years. By the end of that time, I got a very strong desire to return back to the Caribbean and to really recognize for myself what Ghana had taught me that we really had. And those are the poems that really begin my major work. Rites of Passage, published mm-hmm. in 1967, Masks in 1968, and Islands.
Now, and they deal mainly with the theme of African culture.
Not only African culture, but really the business of what African culture did to me,
yes,
in recognizing my Caribbeanness.
So you express your what you perceive,
right,
through your writings.
Right, good.
You think most writers do that?
I think so. Okay. You'd say there are two main kinds of writers, those who respond to external experience or social experience, and those that respond to internal psychic or spiritual experiences. I, in general, tend to respond to the communal external ones.
Okay. What about one? Just right. One poem, and we'll mm-hmm. get to more later.
Right, okay.
Okay. What are you going to read now?
I'm having my hand here, the book called The Arrivance, which is really those three books I mentioned, Rites of Passage, Masks, and Islands, all brought into one, because it really is a trilogy, three poems in one. And what I want to give you an idea is my sense of the connection between Africa and the New World. Because I think that was one of our problems, that we felt that Africa was very separate from the New World, and that we were not really part of a historical experience.
Okay.
This is called The Journeys, and it's from Rites of Passage. Mm-hmm. Egypt in Africa, Mesopotamia, Meroe the Nile, silica glass and brittle Sahara, Timbuktu, Gao, the hills of Ahafo, winds of the Niger, Kumasi and Khyber, dung the coiled Congo and dung that black river that tides us to hell. Hell in the water, brung boys of Bushongo, drowned in the blue and the bitter waste of the wave-gullied Ferdinand Sea. Soft winds to San Salvador, Christopher Christ, and no Noah or dove to promise us, grim though it was, the simple salvation of love. And so it was Little Rock, Dallas, New Orleans, Santiago de Cuba, the miles of unfortunate islands, the saints and the virgins.
Beautiful, very beautiful. You're making here the connection between the old world and the new world.
And the new, right.
Now, exactly what connection do you see? I know your poem is using the names of various places. Mm-hmm. What other
more
ways
than
do
that,
you,
right.
Yes.
The basic element is the element of culture. What I recognized as I came back to the Caribbean was that we, for instance, physically, you have the connection. The people walk the same way, they look the same way. You could be someone from Dahomey, or you know, you could, your uncle could live in the Caribbean.
Of course.
But in addition to that, when you go to the market, you see that the people sit in our markets in the same way that they sit in Africa. The physical posture is the same.
Right.
The colors that they choose as market women are very similar.
Yes.
The way they present their food, the material for sale,
yes,
also very similar. The habit of putting them in lovely geometric designs,
yes,
being conscious of color, the way they prefer to have the food on the ground rather than on the tables provided by the market authorities, and the way they even cut the meat into certain shapes, like salt fish and things, identical. This is seen particularly in Haiti, where if you take photographs, you won't be sure if you're in Africa or in the Caribbean. And then there's the language, the way the people speak. I had a remarkable experience in Barbados one night when I was passing a church, one of our people's churches, not an established church, but an Afro-Caribbean church.
Yes.
And it had always been said that Barbados, my island, had no African culture. And I stopped to listen to these, you know, these worshippers. And although they were Barbadian, I suddenly realized that I couldn't understand what they were saying for one moment.
Yes.
And then as I went on listening, I realized that the pattern and the rhythm was really Igbo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that gave me the first breakthrough into understanding my own culture in Barbados, which is in fact an Igbo culture, which accounts for the fact that Barbados does not seem evidently to have an African culture, because the Igbo culture being what we call acephalous, you know, there's no symbolic head in the Igbo, unlike the Yoruba, and tends to be very introverted, very submerged, and therefore the Barbadian African survival tends to be very hidden. And it is at that moment that I recognize that the continuity of language played a very important part in an understanding of the connection between Africa and the New World.
Now, in some of the later writings, the development of Creole society in Jamaica, Other Exiles, Black and Blue, Mother Poems, etc., those works, are you developing a different kind of theme?
Not a different theme, but deepening the theme, which is really my main interest, of what is the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because some people started off by saying that I was an African poet, or at least that I stressed Africa to the exclusion of the Caribbean, which is ridiculous, because all I was doing is trying to correct an imbalance.
Yes.
As a Caribbean man, I recognize that Caribbean was seeing with only one eye, the eye of Europe. And one has two eyes, and one needed to see with both of them. And my first concern was to correct that with the African experience.
No.
But the main concern was really to try to understand the nature of Caribbean culture. And from Islands, the third book in the first trilogy,
yes,
and then Mother Poem, which is the first book of a second trilogy,
right.
Sun Poem, which is to follow as the second book of the second trilogy, and then Ex-Self, I'll be exploring the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in my history, which is closely linked with my poetry, the development of Creole society is what it says. Creole, yeah, being my word for a culture which is new to the New World and which is a mixture of Europe, Africa, and Amerindian. This is no white man land, and yet we have ghetto here. We have place where man can live good. We have place where man have to sweat shit. We have place where man die with him eye water dry up, where he can't even cry tribulation, where the dry river rocks clog him in. I did swim into this world from I was a small boy, and I never see harbor yet. Ship can't spot no pilot light. I burn in through this wall of silence with my dread. Look how I look on little fun. Herb sung system, running a grung with the Don Drummond blues. Summon the Nyabinga, but none of them come. The earth cold, you see me here. The Goodyear tire them take flight of dust, a nasty water pan the pothole from the asphalt. And land pant up the sufferer them, standing by pan the sidewalk inside the wayside cabin them a call a bus stop, advertising Sheraton Hotel.
Starvation by African Caribbean poet Edward Brathwaite. Today's guest on the Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World. Technical assistance provided by Bob Cham. I'm Brooks Robinson. The Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.